ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। प्रज्वारयाम मा प्रार्था त्वं च मे भगिनि भवा चरं युवाभ्यां लोकेऽस्मिन् अव्यक्तो भीमसैनिकः। Translation: The king of the Yavanas continued, "Here is my brother, Prajvara. I now accept you as my sister. I shall employ both of you, as well as my dangerous soldiers, to act imperceptibly within this world." I say, you say? The king of the Yavanas continued, "Here is my brother, Prajvara. I now accept you as my sister. I shall employ both of you, as well as my dangerous soldiers, to act imperceptibly within this world." So the purport is basically divided into two philosophical points. The first one being how the king of the Yavanas accepted Kalyakanya as his wife. And the second philosophical point is the difference, how they attack you at the time of death, but they don't attack the devotees of the Lord. So we'll read the purport. Kalyakanya was sent by Narada Muni to Yavanaraj so that she might become his wife. But instead of accepting her as his wife, Yavanaraj accepted her as his sister. So this is a analogy. So we'll see what the analogy means now. Those who do not follow the Vedic principles are unrestricted as far as sex life is concerned. Consequently, they sometimes do not hesitate to have sex with their sisters. In this age of Kali, there are many instances of such incest. Although Yavanaraj accepted the request of Narada Muni to show respect to him, he was nonetheless thinking of illicit sex. This was due to his being the king of the Yavanas and the Malechas. So that's the first philosophical point. The second one is here, in the second paragraph. The word Prajvaraha is very significant, for it means the fever sent by Lord Vishnu. Such a fever is always set at 108 degrees, the temperature at which a man dies. We have a doctor here. Did you ever give anybody a thermometer and have it be 108? Close to that, okay. Sometimes maybe 107 and a little bit more. When it reaches 108, you're finished. Okay? Thus, the king of the Malechas and the Yavanas requested a daughter of time, Kalyakanya, to become his sister. There is no need to ask her to become his wife, for the Yavanas and Malechas do not make distinction as far as sex life is concerned. Thus, one may outwardly be a sister, mother, or daughter, and still have sex. Yavanaraja's brother was Prajvara, and Kalyakanya was invalidity itself. Combined and strengthened by the soldiers of Yavanaraj, namely non-hygienic conditions. So what, there are four regulative principles. What does illicit sex destroy? Yeah, the The sin of illicit sex destroys cleanliness. So there is a relationship between sex and death. Very few people. Sometimes great psychologists, they call the act of copulation, they call that the little death. They call it like this. Psychologists, people who study sex psychology, they say it's like the little death. The act of that act. So there's a relationship. In tarot cards, I suppose I should say that, the house of death and the house of sex are the same house. So there's a relationship somehow. So, combined and strengthened by the soldiers of Yavanaraj, namely non-hygienic conditions, and we know this to be true. By the act of sex life, so many diseases are caught. We know this. There's a disease, AIDS disease right now. It's very, very prevalent in human society right now. But you can't catch it unless you have sex. So there's other diseases, syphilis, all these diseases. So this act of sex life is a very unhygienic act. And from this act, many diseases come, which lead to death. So illicit sex and ultimately a high degree of temperature to bring on death, they would be able to smash the materialistic way of life. And this connection is significant, that Narada was immune to the attack of jara or invalidity. And similarly, jara or the destructive force cannot attack any follower of Narada Muni or a pure Vaishnava. Om Jnana Chimurandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitanyena Taishmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadadmayam Dadati Swapadante Kam Vanchikalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So I would like to, before I begin to comment on this verse, I would like to offer for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas something sweet. Everyone should begin a class with sweet, end with sweetness, and begin with sweetness is the injunction of the Shastra. When a guest comes to your house, you should greet him very sweetly. And if for somehow or other, while he is staying, there's some trouble, some problem, then when he's leaving, you should also make sure that he leaves very sweetly. So I'm going to offer these three beautiful verses by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. It's his disappearance day pretty soon. So it's allowed here in the Rasika capital of the world, the Madhurya capital of the world. A little Ras is nice. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, we're learning up in Radhakund was Kanstubhi Manjari. So I like this fact. It's always nice to be on a team of all stars. We have Lakshmi Nisringa here, and if you could play basketball with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Wilt Chamberlain and other such basketball stars as that, would you take up a game with them? You probably would. Yeah, right away. He's shaking his head. He was a great basketball player. So it's good to be on a team of all-stars. And in our Sampradaya, we have many all-stars, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur being one of them. Radha sammukham samsakim Saki sangha nivasanim Tamaham satatam vande guru rupam param shakim. I perpetually worship my guru, who in the spiritual world, in his form as a most exalted Saki Manjari, is simply happily engaged in the service of Srimati Radhika, along with all of the other Sakis. So this is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, one of our spiritual masters. in the line of parampara. So he says, Mama ratna vanigbhavam ratnanya parichinvataha hasantu shantir jurami na swaswanta vinoda krit. So the saintly devotees who are assembled here, you can laugh at me. It is okay, you can laugh at me because I am trying to be a ratnavig, a jewel merchant. Here in this verse by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the verses, the jewels that are being mentioned are not the jewels of rubies, diamonds, emeralds, pearls, and sapphires. But he's discussing the jewel-like shlokas of the Vedic Shastra. So, these saintly devotees who are assembled here, you can laugh at me, it is okay, you can laugh at me, because I am trying to be a jewel merchant, when everyone knows I know nothing about jewels. But still, even if you laugh at me, Jeremy, nah, I will feel no shame, because at the very least, I will have performed the wonderful, pious activity of entertaining the Vaishnavas by making them laugh. This is what's called a win-win situation in America. Namaste vaidu shapinapi bhaktir virakti raktir natatapi loyat suturgama deva bhavami vedastut yarta chintamani rasi gridnuha. I have no wisdom. I have no renunciation. I have no bhakti. Still, despite these great disqualifications, I do have a need. I have a greed. I want to steal. I want to rescue. I want to obtain by hook or crook the philosopher's stone of the very powerful and potent Vedic prayers and shlokas, which, by the way, can award immortality. So here we have a verse speaking about death, mortality, and immortality. And the Vedic prayers and shlokas, they can award immortality. I wish to steal these shlokas from the mighty pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam in which they are kept. Mam nichaitayam avivekavayu pravartate pa taitum balakche likham yatam swami sanatana shri krishnangri bastamba kritam valambaha. While commenting on this Srimad Bhagavatam, if the wind of my indiscretion, which would be my inability to plainly admit to all the assembled Vaishnavas my very, very lowly position, if the wind of this indiscretion threatens to knock me down, then what else can I do? I must simply hold on to the effulgent pillar of the lotus feet of my predecessor gurus and acharyas such as Sridhar Swami, Sanatan Goswami. And finally, I must simply hold on to the effulgent pillar of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna himself. So in this class, you will not be hearing any of my opinions. My opinions are useless. You will be hearing Shastra. That's all you will be hearing. So, in this verse, now turning to this verse, now we're going to go from the highest thing to, because this verse mentions some low things. Huh? Sex with one's sister. Sex with one's mother. Sex with one's daughter. Incest. So there's a verse. And you may say, oh, this is very unpalatable, unpalatable. Oh, we don't even want to discuss this. We're here in Vrindavan. Let's hear something Madhurya in Vrindavan, huh? Something sweet. So why this discussion here? There's a verse. It is the duty of the acharya to teach. The duty of the acharya. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya's leelas are called acharya leela, because he's come down to teach bhakti yoga, devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in teaching, one has to understand what has to be avoided and what has to be accepted. Anyad evahor vijaya, nyada hora avijaya. Itishu srimadiranam yena stad vijachakshare. The first verse is vidya cha vidyam cha yas tad vedobayam saha avidya yam mrityum tir cha vidyam yam ritam asnute. This is a verse from the Sriyashu Upanishad. It says, therefore, one has to know perfectly, side by side, the culture of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge. These things have to be learned side by side. Andam tama pravishyanti. Okay, now that my mind has started working and my nervousness has gone away, I'll try again. Andam tama pravishyanti. Ye vidyam upasate tato buya ivate tamo ya uvidyayam rataha. There we go. My mind has started working. Andam tama pavishyanti. Andam means ignorance, and tama means great darkness. Pavishyanti means that one enters into ignorance and great darkness. Andam tama pavishyanti ye vidyam avidyaya. This is avidyaya, and it's interesting they use the word upasate. They worship ignorance. Sometimes you meet devotees in the Krishna conscious movement, they're saying, I'm a little bit tired of devotional service, I'm tired of the austerities of devotion to Lord Krishna, I'm tired of the getting up every morning, the chanting of my rounds, the regulative principles. Particularly they're tired of certain regulative principles, namely the regulative principles that forbids one from engaging in illicit sex. So they get tired of performing the regulative principles, they get tired of the struggle to remain a devotee, jai jai, Sri Sri Gorni Tai, jai jai, Krishna Balaram, jai jai, Radha Shuma Shama Shunda, jai jai, Lalita Vishaka. They get tired of these, of the struggle to battle the senses. And so they think that I will go away from the Krishna conscious movement, I will give up these principles that we must follow, and life will be easier. There will be no more worship. There will be no more struggle. But it does not matter. If you decline to follow the path of bhakti and follow the path of the regulative principles, if you decide you're going to withdraw, does that mean that you're not going to worship? So, avidyayam upasate. You will end up worshiping one way or the other, because the conditioned soul is always under powers, always under the modes of material nature, is always under energies that are greater than itself. You will bow one way or the other. You will either bow to Krishna and attain immortality, or you will bow to Maya and stay in the cycle of birth and death. But this opacity will be there. Mamai vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. Manashastran Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. Karshati means to struggle very, very hard. So in this world that we live in, the living entities in this conditional world, the world that we are find ourselves in, they are my eternal transcendental parts and parcels. But they have fallen into a very lamentable situation because they are struggling very, very hard with the mind in the six senses. Then it says, Shariram yad avapnoti yat chat utkramat ishvaraham. It's very interesting, the word here is ishvaraha. Shariram yad, one gets a body. Shariram yad avapnoti, one attains a material body. Yat chat utkramat ish, or one gives up a body. And what are we? We are the ishvaraha. We are the master. We often say that we're here in the material world and we are not the controller. And that is true. We are not the controller of this great jagat, the great material world. We're not the controller of the incidences of our life. We are being swallowed by our karma. We are being pushed around by the three modes of material nature. We are being devoured by the snake of time. This is all true. But we are an ishvaraha in some way or another. And the thing is, because we have a little bit of Krishna in us, we have the Ishvara tendency. And what is that Ishvaraha? That Ishvaraha is that we can choose what body we are going to get in the next life. So, Yach Chap Utkram Adishvaraha Grihitvaitani Samyati. He gives up a body and he accepts a body. Vayur Gandami Vashayat, just like the air carries aroma. So the living entity, he accepts one kind of body. The living entity in this material world, he accepts one kind of body and he gives it up. Just as like when the air, when it passes over a garbage dump, it acquires the smell of that garbage dump. And when the air passes over of beautiful roses, it attains the smell of the roses. The air is always pure. The living entity is always pure, but it's passing over, coming in contact with different smells in this material world, with the smell of the mode of ignorance, with the smell of the mode of passion, with the smell of the mode of goodness, and becoming in contact with these smells, it's moving from one body to another body. And then this is the verse that I want to quote. Shotams chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam graham evacha adishtana manaschayam vishayan upasevate. Here's the same word, the upa, the seva, the service to the sense objects. So the living entity in this material world, it accepts another material body, going from body to body to body to body. It accepts a certain kind of eye. It accepts a certain kind of nose, a certain kind of tongue, a certain kind of ear, a certain kind of sense of touch. And all of these senses, what are they? They're grouped about the mind. And then what is the result? He accepts a certain type of sense object as his worshipful object. So therefore, the most beautiful woman, beautiful apsara-like woman can walk out of her house here in Vrindavan or in discreetly somewhere. She may pass stool and a pig will come by, but what will he be attracted to? The beautiful lady or the stool? He'll be attracted to the stool because that is his sense object. Whereas we won't even notice. We'll be just attracted to the beautiful lady, or if you're in a lady's body, you'll be attracted to a very opulent, powerful man. And we won't even see the stool. We'll just see the beautiful sense object that attracts our senses. A bee is attracted to a flower. It goes crazy. Sometimes the bee, they enter the flower and the flower closes on them and they die. Certain insects, many insects are attracted to bright light. And they will enter into this bright light. And they will be killed within the fire of this bright light. So Shottam Chakshu Sparsh, the living entity, he has senses that are grouped about the mind, and thus he accepts a particular set of sense objects. And we are not immune from these verses. We have taken a human form of life, and in this form of life, there's certain sense objects that are very powerfully attractive to us. And in this human form of life, it is the opposite sex that is most attractive. The form of a female is very, very attractive to the men. And the form of an opulent, powerful man is very, very attractive to a woman. We're not attracted to as deeply to any other objects as this type of object. So therefore, andam tama pravishyanti ye vidyamyam upasate. We will end up worshipping ignorance, worshipping darkness, worshipping those things that will lead us to darkness. And this sex desire is something, this engagement in sex life is something that will lead us deeply into the modes of passion and ignorance. Illicit sex life. Andam tama pravishyanti ye vidyam upasate tato bhuya ivate tamo ya uvidyayam rataha. Those who engage in the culture of Nessian activities. Nessian activities means the activities of sense gratification. They must enter into the darkest regions of ignorance. And worse still are those who engaged in the culture of so-called knowledge. Those who encourage people, the atheistic philosophers, those who provide the philosophical underpinning for a sense gratificatory society, a society of yavanas and malentures, a sense gratificatory society. They also enter, there is no God, therefore there is no morality, there is no one to answer to, you can do as you like, there is no law of karma. People who talk like this, do as you like, what, beg, borrow, and steal, get ghee, there is no law of karma. When you die, that's it, you're just a bunch of molecules that have come together, they will explode at a certain time, and there's no repayment. It's chaotic, it's chaos. So these people, they go to a deeper hell than the people who are just, they both go to hell. Those who are engaged in sense gratification, but those who provide the philosophical underpinnings for such a malechya, yavana, sense gratificatory type of life, they also go to a deeper hell. Then the next verse says, Anyad evahu vidyaya, nyadahora vidyaya, iti shushruma, diranam. Thus it is heard. Iti thus shushruma, it is heard, diranam, from sober men who have carefully studied the material universe and how it's working. Yena stad vichachakshave, and thus it is explained by them. So what is explained? It's explained that one result is obtained by the culture of Nessian activities. But a different result is obtained by the culture of so-called knowledge. One result is obtained by the culture of Nessian activities, but a different result, excuse me, is obtained by the culture of transcendental knowledge. So, I'm okay, you're okay doesn't cut it. We have this philosophy in the West. I'm okay, you're okay. You know this philosophy. Maybe it's even here in India, I don't know. Huh? Alright, you're a Hare Krishna person, you got your thing, you know, you're following these rules and regulations, you're chanting these rounds. That's okay. But you know, I'm a sense gratifier, I'm a party man, I'm a partier, I'm a sense gratifier. I do what I do, that's okay. And you do what you do, that's okay. I'm okay, you're okay. No one can make any judgments. Huh? No one can say, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't have sex with your sister. It's a really bad idea. You shouldn't have sex with your mother. You shouldn't have sex with your daughter. Huh? No one can say this. If you Hare Krishna people want to believe this restriction on engagement in sex life in order, and you find some happiness from that, good, you're okay. And I find my happiness this other way, and I'm okay. But no, according to Shastra, that one result, not everyone is going to the same place. Okay? If you engage in certain activities, you go in a certain direction. If you engage in the activities of tamogun, you will go down. Asurya nama te lok. One time I asked my spiritual master, this is a true story, when I first became a devotee, I read the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I read the section on the hellish planets. And I asked my spiritual master, His Holiness Satsarupa Maharaj, I was a very brand new devotee, and I had just read the fifth canto, and it explains there all the sins that you perform, and you get the hellish planets. So I said to him, my dear Guru Maharaj, I said, I've committed a lot of these sins, you know, before I came to devotional service. And I said, will I be okay? That's my question to my Guru Maharaj. And I thought, you know, my Guru Maharaj was a very soft-hearted person, you know, and I thought probably one of the most soft-hearted persons in ISKCON, very sensitive person. And I thought, you know, oh, he's going to give me a pass. He's going to say, oh, it's okay, you're a devotee now. Okay? Everything's okay, you're a devotee now. You're not going to go to the hellish planets. So do you think that's what he said? How many thinks that what he said? Huh? But he looked at me and he said to me one sentence. He says, you do the sin, you go to the hell. Huh? So I'm okay, you're okay is great for a little while. But we're trying to help people actually, teach people that this I'm okay, you're okay philosophy is not going to play very well when you're in front of Yamaraj. It's not going to play very well. What is it that a man brings with him into the house of death? Huh? What is it that a man... This is a question that the Yamadutas... this is a question that the Yaksha asked Yudhisthira. What is it that a man brings with him into the house of death? Huh? And what did Yudhisthira answer? A man brings nothing with him into the house of death. Not his money, not his land, not his property, not his relatives. Huh? Not even his own body. Sometimes we say we come in naked and we go out naked, right? Some people say like that. We come in naked, we go out naked. But we don't even go out naked. We come in naked. We don't even go out naked because we leave the body behind. When we're coming in, we have at least a body. It's naked, but at least it's a body. When we're going out, we're not naked anymore. Because we're not even taking the body with us. So we don't even take a naked body with us. When we come in, we have a naked body at least. So what is it that a man brings with him into the house of death? He brings two things. Does he bring nothing? No. He brings two things. He brings his pop, and he brings his crit. Pop means he brings his sin, and crit means he brings his piety. So when you're faced with Yamaraj, Yamaraj has a secretary named Chandragupta. And don't think they have faulty computers in Yamaloka. They have very nice computers. They have Chandragupta. He really keeps good records. And when you get in front of Yamaraj, do you think you have a lawyer? How many think you have a lawyer when you're in front of Yamaraj? Raise your hand. No, it's not that kind of court where you can commit murder, and if you hire Johnny Cochran, you have to be from America maybe to understand this, you can get away with the murder. If you got a really good lawyer, you can get away with the murder. No, it's not that kind of court. What does Yamaraj do? He turns to Chandragupta. He says, two things. What is the pop? What is the crit? And then Chandragupta, the computer goes on, and he says to Yamaraj, this is the pop, this is the crit. And Yamaraj says, okay, you go here. That's it. No discussion. So, therefore, running out of time, I didn't mean to go so long, but we'll try to and I didn't get to the second half of the purport. We'll try to wrap that up. So therefore, vidyacha vidyachayas tad vedavayam saha avidyaya mrityum tirtva. Mrityum tirtva means that what? Mrityum means death, and tirtva means he can transcend death. Avidyaya mrityum tirtva vidyam yamritam. Amrita means the nectar of immortality. Okay, I guess this is a good place to end. He gets the nectar of eternal life. Vidyam yamritam asnute, and he enjoys that nectar. So, this verse says, only a person who has learned there's two things mentioned in this verse. The process of transcendental knowledge. Here, this is my right hand. This is the process of transcendental knowledge. This is my left hand. And the process of nescience. Only a person who has learned these two things side by side, only such a person, he can, if he understands these things in truth, he can transcend the cycle of birth and death. And what can he do? He can attain the full nectar of immortality. So, you may say, oh, we don't have to hear this purport. One should avoid illicit sex. After all, we're all initiated devotees. We don't need to hear it. Give me something more rasika. We're in Vrindavan. Huh? I tried to at the beginning of the class. A little something. Okay? But we don't have to hear this. We're beyond this. But no, this is part of Acharya Lila. This is part of the Shastra. We have to understand these things very carefully. Here is the process of transcendental knowledge, the process of Krishna consciousness. And over here is the process of nescience. Okay? And there's two things that happen. The more you fill yourself up with the process of nescience, then the more your transcendental knowledge disappears. It's like a scale, you see. The more you fill them higher, the more nescience, the more sense gratification, the more engagement in sex life you bring into your life. Especially, here in sex life, we're talking illicit sex life. We want all our grihasthas to produce 20 children, please, and make them all pure devotees. We want you to do that, grihasthas, according to the regulative principles. But here we're talking about illicit sex life. So, the more you fill yourself up with this nescience, then the less you will have transcendental knowledge. And the more you fill yourself up with transcendental knowledge, And the more you avoid the activities of nescience, then that'll go away. Then you'll become, you'll be able to enjoy immortality. So these things have to be learned side by side. In other words, you have to know, what is it that's going to bring me down? What is it that's going to degrade me? And what is it that's going to elevate me? And what you have to do is you have to take all the things that are going to degrade you and you have to put them aside. And everything that is going to elevate you, you have to fill your life up with those things. What never happens, and this is what is very hard for devotees to grasp, or it takes a long time to really grasp this. This is what never happens. Watch very carefully. Okay, I'll do it one more time. For those of you who are on the radio, I'm lifting both hands up at the same time. This is what never happens. Okay? Haribo! Yeah, there we go. Haribo! That never happens. So the more you engage raga dresha vimuktais tu vishayan indriyais charan. I'll end with this verse. It's almost 9 o'clock. Raga dresha vimuktais. I like to end my classes on time. Raga dresha. This is a very good verse. Everyone should learn this verse. It's a very nice verse. It's from the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter towards the end when Krishna is talking about sense control. Raga dresha vimuktais tu vishayan indriyais charan. Atma vaishyadir vayir videyatma prashadam. Prashadam. Everybody likes prashadam? Raise your hand. Okay. But this is a different kind of prashadam. This is prashadam adigashyati. The prashadam of mercy of the Lord. How does one get mercy of the Lord? Raga dresha vimuktais tu. One who is freed from all attachment and aversion. Again, look at my hands. You have to put away those things that make you averse to Krishna. And you have to accept those things that make you very, very much attached to Krishna in spiritual life. Okay? So the one who is free from attachment and aversion and able to control the senses by the... You don't know this verse? Regulative principles of freedom. Wait a second, man. The regulative principles of freedom? Hey, man, I'm a free guy. There should be no... How can you have regulative principles of freedom? If you're free, that means you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, right? Because we're tiny, we can't do like that. Krishna, he can enjoy the regulative principles of freedom and do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Of course, he's a very controlled person, very regulated person. So, what happens to somebody who is free from all attachment and aversion and able to control the senses through the regulative principles of freedom? Prashadam adigacchati. He gets the mercy of God. So, don't think that these regulative principles, especially this principle, no illicit sex life, is some kind of great burden that you have to bear. Oh my God, I got to be celibate. No, it's not a great burden. It is the thing that's going to free you. It's the thing that's going to lift you up. It will help you tremendously in your spiritual advancement. It will allow you to get that, and the other regulative principles will allow you to get the mercy of the Lord. And what happens when you get the mercy of the Lord? Okay, one more verse. Prasana, prashade sarva dukkha. This is the very next verse. Prashade sarva dukkanam. Sarva dukkanam means all unhappinesses. Sarva dukkanam, all sufferings. Prashade, sarva dukkanam. Hanir, these sufferings are destroyed. Hanir, they're killed. Prashade, sarva dukkanam. Hanir, asyo, pajayate. Prasana, prasana means a very peaceful mind. Prasana, chetasa, your intelligence, your mind becomes very peaceful. I have a great friend, Jayadwaita Swami, was once asked, if you're celibate for one day, is that good? He was being asked in a class, if you're celibate for one day, is that good? And Jayadwaita Swami, he has a very dry wit, I think many of us know him. He said, yes, that is good, but you'll have to understand, that'll be the happiest day of your life. Huh? How much burden do we take trying to enjoy sex life, trying to acquire this thing? How much burden do we take? How much does it burden us down? Huh? Trying to please a woman. And if you're in a woman's body, trying to get along with a man. Big hairy ape of a man. Huh? So, chetasa, prasana chetasa yasyu, and then what happens? Buddhi ha paryavatishtate. Being freed from all attachment and aversion and able to control the senses through the regulative principles of freedom, one can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. For one who is thus satisfied in his Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence, they exist no longer. Because in such satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. Okay, I think that's a good time to end. Okay, Hare Krishna. Anybody who wants to get up, because it is now exactly 9 o'clock, can get up and leave. And there's no offense whatsoever. And I see there's one question. So we'll accept questions for anyone who'd like to stay just for a few more minutes. Yes, Prabhu. Oh, God. Karma. All right. First of all, there's one thing about karma questions. Karmano yapi bodhavam bodhavyam chavi karmanaha akarmanas cha bodhava gahana karmano gahana karmano gatiha. The intricacies of karma are very hard to understand. Okay? But the karma that we're experiencing now in this lifetime go back for many, 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 many lifetimes. There's a story from the Mahabharata that Bhishma Dev was laying on the bed of arrows, and it was discussed there that Bhishma Dev could remember 10 of his past lives in the Mahabharata. He could remember 10 of his past lives. So he's laying on the bed of arrows, and he said to Krishna, he said, Krishna, I never remember doing anything so that I should be laying here on a bed of arrows. I never did anything. I can remember every single one of my past 10 lives. I can't remember anything that I should be in this position. He said this to Krishna. And Krishna said, ah. Oh. And then Krishna told him, 11 lifetimes ago, you were hunting in the forest. You were a powerful kshatriya, and you were hunting in the forest. And there was a snake that was in your way in the forest as you were walking the forest path. And you didn't realize, and you took the snake in a very nonchalant way, you threw it into a thorn bush. And that snake was on the thorn bush, and it took that snake 24 minutes to die. So a minute to a snake is like 24 hours to us. So therefore, you have to lay on this bed of arrows. He laid on the bed of arrows for 24 days, I'm pretty sure. So from 11 lifetimes ago. So do we suffer karma from many, many, many lifetimes ago? Yes, we do. And this lifetime is a culmination of all that karma. And therefore, in order to become free from karma, we have to do something that's beyond karma. Otherwise, if we try to karma kandiya ourselves out of this material world, forget it, especially in this age of Kali Yuga. So Kalim Shaba Jayanti Aya Guno Gyasarabhagi Naha Yatrasan Kirtane Naiva Sarvaswato Palabhyate. Progressive souls who are actually advanced in knowledge, they can appreciate the wonderful qualities of Kali Yuga. Do you think Kali Yuga is great? Raise your hand. How many think Kali Yuga is great? Here's one. Okay. You're a progressive soul. We are in the best yuga. Do you understand that? We are in the best yuga? No, I thought Satya Yuga was the best yuga. No, but not according to the Shastra. Okay? This is a very great time to be a human being. And it's a very great time to be in the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Because progressive souls who are actually advanced in knowledge, they can appreciate the essential quality of this age of Kali Yuga. Such persons, they worship the age of Kali Yuga. Kalim Shaba Jayanti Jai. Jai Kali Yuga. Have you ever heard this before? It's Kali Yuga. Jai. Jai. All glories to Kali Yuga. Why? Kalim Kas Sankirtanan Yatra Sankirtanenai Vasarva Swato Bilabjute. Because in this very fallen age, it's a very fallen age. That's true. Bad age to be born in. But all perfection can be achieved by the transcendental chanting of the transcendental name of the Lord. Because the age is so bad, the method has been made so easy. So follow the four regular principles. Chant your 16 rounds of every day, and I guarantee you, prasadam adigachyati, you will get the mercy of God. And once you get the mercy of God, all unhappinesses go away. Okay, anything else?